Hi FM. Stay relevant and up to date. Informed. This is 101.9 Hi FM.
Good evening. My name is Stan Claff. I'm the Grand Secretary of the Hebrew Order of David International. And I have in the studio with me tonight, Myron Robinson, the President of the Reverend Chaim Katz Lodge in East London. And we'll have on a line in a few minutes, the International Director of the Federation of Jewish Men's Clubs in America. That's Stan Greenspan. And with him is Stephen Dix. We'll come to that in a moment. The topic that we're going to talk about tonight is around the focus on volunteering. And it's very interesting that the Federation of Jewish Men's Clubs have 250 clubs with over 25,000 members. And their mission is to involve Jewish men in Jewish life. Stan, are you with us?
Yes, we are here.
Hello, Steve. Hello, Stan.
Hi, Steve and Stan.
Good. And we've got Myron here, and we've got Tybo running the show for us. How are you doing?
We're great. We're just, we're actually driving through downtown Atlanta. We just passed the Olympic Stadium. We're looking for the Martin Luther King Memorial. I haven't been in this area before, and I keep coming through Atlanta and never actually seeing the city. So, it's going to be a nice little tour.
Okay. So Stan, let's talk about, just give us a background to the Federation of Jewish Men's Clubs.
Okay. We are 90 years old. Our 90th celebration will be in July in a convention we're having in Toronto. We're accepting, you know, if you want to get, you guys want to come, it'll be up on the website probably Monday or Tuesday, fjmc.org for the convention. We'll give you a good deal, believe me. The convention is taking place. We will have a number of great speakers, a number of great things going on. And we talk about volunteerism. We talk about how our men help in their communities. The reason I'm down in Atlanta today is because we're divided into 15 different regions around the world. We have most of them are in the United States. There's one in Canada and one actually in Uganda. So we do have an African contingent. We are going to, they have each region usually has a retreat or some kind of a meeting at one point. So our men in Atlanta, we call them the Anshei Darom, the men of the South. They will be having their retreat at, Camp Ramah Darom, which is in northern Georgia in the mountains, an absolute gorgeous place. And there'll be about 65, 70 people there. Mm-hmm. And, it should be a great time. And there might be celebrations of a alcoholic type at some point.
Well, it goes without saying.
Yes. If that's the rationale, then
Myron and I are in.
Yeah, me definitely.
Dear friends passed away a month ago, so for Shloshim, we're going to be finishing Masechet Brachot, and we're making a CM in his honor.
Wonderful. So tell me how you work and how you attract Jewish men into the Jewish life.
Well, we work with our clubs are part of synagogues. So a synagogue will have a men's club, and many are affiliated, some are not. But they will cut the ones that are affiliated belong to the club, and we will give them information. We do probably the best leadership training that there is any place. And we do a great job with that. We teach guys about how they can work in their communities, how they can be part of the whole, men's club life and synagogue life. We'll teach them how to be, volunteers in terms of service for the synagogue. Men tend to be involved in fundraising in a big way. We'll be doing that. We'll be doing, service projects. We participate in things that happen in the synagogue, as I'm sure that your men do. If you look at I joke that if we ever have a service for the men's club, we don't need any seats because everyone's the usher and there's no need to have them. They're all used to standing during services.
Okay, so, as far as the Hebrew Order of David is concerned, we're a fraternity, which means it's a men's organization, so we can relate to that, but we are not, based or connected to the shuls in that respect. in the way that you are. And I guess that a lot of your members are ultimately leaders of the shuls where they operate. Would that be right?
They become leaders. What happens is that they will start in the men's club and they become part of the volunteer culture in the synagogue. And then, after a few years, if we're lucky or if we're unlucky, depends on how you look at it, the synagogue will pluck them as leaders for the synagogue itself. And they'll come back to us, and we've got a large number of people who have been presidents of synagogues and members of the executive and the rest of it. And they've taken the leadership techniques we talk about and teach them. We're very, very much involved in working with committees and groups and being part of a larger organization. It's really not one man rule. And we try and make sure that everybody has a chance. We teach people how to grow as leaders, and grow as effective leaders. We're not just looking to, to have someone come in who becomes, the president for life. We want them to move on and do other things.
Right. And Stephen Dix is the treasurer of the organization. So I'm assuming, number one, that you have money. And number two, that you...
Yes,
and
we did.
And you spent it on booze the last
today,
week. Yeah. on this jaunt that you're going on. But that would lead me to the question is, do members pay to belong to this organization?
Yeah, so the way we are structured, we collect dues based upon the membership of each club. And so the club actually pays the dues into the international organization. It's not a matter of the individual members paying. So typically what'll happen is the members of the men's club will pay their dues to their club, and then a portion of that money goes to the international organization. And then what the international organization does is it gives a rebate of some of that money back to the regions that Stan was talking about, the regional organization. Some of that money goes back to the regions, so to help the regions operate the programs that the international organization promotes. And along those lines, I think it's worthwhile talking about the fact that the programs that the international organization promotes are all programs that were invented at the club level. And that's one of the beauties of the organization, is that it's really a bottom-up thing. What happens is ideas float up, and when they seem to catch a little bit of attention outside of more than one club, then that idea gets promoted. So this past week we just celebrated the worldwide wrap, where the men's club members from synagogues around the entire organization get together with the kids and older people as well to teach them how to lay tefillin. That was an idea that was born in one of the clubs, and they started doing it, and now it's an international program that we run.
And this convention that you're having in Toronto in a couple of months, that's international. That means that members would travel from far and wide and come. How many do you expect to attend?
Probably about five. We're looking for about 500 or so. We think we'll probably have about, for me, it's great because I don't have to use my passport to get there. But there are many of the people will be coming from the United States, probably about 350 or 400. There will be some people coming from other places in the world. We know there are a couple of guys coming from our clubs in Uganda, as I mentioned before. We'll probably have some people from our Israeli club. Maybe somebody from, we've had people from India attend. We've had people from Colombia and Chile and Argentina, where we have presence. So we're going to have a large number of people come. I mean, yes, it is more than 90%, well, more than 80% of our clubs are in the United States, but that's really never been a detrimental thing to anybody from any place to being a member. We understand that. I'm not the first Canadian president of the organization.
And then at this convention, this is not an annual general meeting of sorts where there's not a new election or...
There will be at the beginning of the convention. That happens early on, but once we finish with that stuff, You know, into the dustbin it goes, and we move on to having a good time at the convention.
Is this a kind of a are you a kind of a benevolent dictatorship, or is it a democratic vote?
Oh no, we've fallen into the process of having a slate committee, which determines a presumed executive for the next 2 years.
So it's a 2 year
term. There'll be a pro forma election normally, where everybody raise your hand and say aye, and that's it. And it goes on, but you have to get to that point. Nobody just is parachuted into that position without having some experience in the organization.
And these training programs,
and it's a 2 year
term. Sorry, these training programs, are they recorded? Are they done live? Are they done over the internet? Is it something which one can have a look at?
Yes. We do as best we can on that. Yeah, but we don't have a lot. I mean, I was sitting in the car thinking about what you're doing with your podcast and your interviews here. And this is something we should really consider doing. It's a really great thing. I'd love to talk to you after this about, you know, how we can work together on it. But we are, you know, most of our work has been devoted to work in action in the synagogues and actually, working there. We have done a number of international projects, which have, you know, led to some incredible things. But we are really based on making sure that there's a minyan on the Sunday morning, or that the shul is ready to go when it comes time for a service. And that's the kind of stuff that our guys are really very much involved in. The stuff that we provide them with is the extras, the icing on the cake that makes it all fun.
So we have the convention once every 2 years. But every year there's a leadership development institute that we run, where we get about 100 guys from all over, and run some very intensive training programs on the programs of the federation, and on techniques with regard to how to become a better leader. And the thing that we found that's extremely helpful is that the guys take away from their volunteer experience, they take away a lot of things that helps them a lot in their business lives as well, because they can essentially practice these leadership techniques in a place where it's not going to get them in trouble if they get it wrong.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, pay for the show, and we're going to then come back. We'll be joining with Nikki Goldman from London, who is part of the Jewish Volunteer Network. She's actually the CEO, and we'll continue with the discussion.
Connecting our community. Choose life. Choose high. 101.9 High FM.
And we're back, and I'm talking now while we're waiting for the next part of the show for the others to join us. I was going to talk to Myron, who's in the studio. He's the president, as I said, Myron Robinson. He comes from East London. He's the president of the Reverend Chaim Katz Lodge, which is over 50 years old. And, Myron, give us a bit of background to the lodge and what you do and its roots, and who was Reverend Chaim Katz to begin with.
Okay, certainly, Stan. Well, good evening, listeners. Hi, Stan, and to any brethren listening. Basically, the lodge started, Chaim Katz Lodge number 25, started in 1965. It was consecrated in 1965. And I assume by the number, it was the 25th lodge inaugurated in South Africa.
Right.
At its peak, we had about 100 members. And there is a photograph, which I think I've given one to you, and there's one in
It's going into the archives.
Yeah. And there's one in our temple of the original inauguration. It was taken atop of what was then the Colton Hotel, now the King David Hotel in East London, the premier hotel, King David. And there were about 160 brethren at that inauguration. In fact, the inaugural members of this lodge, worthy brother Josh Basker, started the lodge in East London. Unfortunately, his late father passed away during that year, and he sort of took a gap year and joined the lodge in 1966, but he's still a very active member of the lodge, and so he's been 54 years this year in the lodge.
And he's a recipient of one of the highest awards, which is the Order of Merit, which is given for meritorious service to the Hebrew Order of David.
Yes, in addition to which we made him an honorary life member, or Lodge made him an honorary life member 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
Which I accepted the award on his behalf. Isunan's a very small community. Our lodge is very small, but it's extremely active. We
punches way above its weight.
Well, I'd like to think so. So just in reference, we
think so.
We've published an annual Rosh Hashanah journal, which started in 1976, and it's been published unbroken with 8 editors since that time period, from which we raise most of our funds. And we have a very good history in South African terms of giving to charity from the lodge and from our golf day. Our golf day, which has been run for 23 consecutive years, and Tape Aids for the Blind have been the major beneficiary for about 15 years, and the last 3 years they've been the sole beneficiary. And we do that on an annual basis. Unfortunately, this year, for reasons which are not germane to this discussion, we're not holding that golf day. But over the years, we've given about the last several years around 100,000 rand to various charities in South Africa. I can name a few should you wish me to do so.
Well, just to talk about this publication, which is brought out on an annual basis, it carries messages from the chief rabbi, sometimes from government officials, and personally I've sent some messages from our offices as well. It's really a representation of the businesses in the East London area. And it's very, very well supported. It's almost 200 pages, with a lot of it is advertising, but there's a lot of content. And if ever anyone gets a chance to read it, it's really worth a read.
Yeah, thanks very much, Dan. We've got a great editor, worthy brother Jonathan Goldberg. It does a fantastic job and almost single-handedly edits and publishes the journal. We get favorable publishing rates, but still quite, it's a glossy edition, as you know. And because most of our adverts come from the local community, we obviously have to give money back to the local community. But we support inter alia Hatzola, IUA, Oranje Orphanage, Yad HaRon, Bikur Cholim, and Kosher Mobile Meals.
Even outside and beyond the confines of East London. So, yes, other beneficiaries around the organizations around the country do benefit. Myron is being very modest because he has a significant input into this activity.
Thanks for your kind words, but not as significant as you may think. Just on a precursor to our history, there was a lodge in a town called King Williamstown, which is about 60 kilometers, I think probably northwest of East London, and was known as the A.P. Bender Lodge. The only information I have on that lodge is that it was established around 1927, and I think it diminished or ceased. It was disbanded sometime during World War II.
I spent about a month in King Williamstown in a half an hour.
Yeah, you can do that. It's probably the size of Glen Hazel, if that.
Yes.
But I think that might have been the forerunner to our lodge. And the only memories I found and asked around was of a photograph, which I don't know if you've had one, if you've seen the photograph, but it is in our temple in East London.
Yes. No, we do have a copy of it in our archives, which we are, incidentally, we are in the process of putting together archives for the Hebrew Order of David. It's not that we don't have archive material, which we've collected over almost 115 years, but we are collecting more things. And we found that members of the community are sitting with items which are in their possession, which belong to the Hebrew Order of David, in the sense that they have engraving on it, or it's kiddush cups or candle sticks or things of that nature. And if any family is wanting to donate it to the order, we'll give them pride of place in the temple, in the organization's library, which is being completed at the HRD Center. As far as just a short story about that. One day I came across a box. Somebody brought in a box where I was actually at a restaurant, and somebody brought a box of cups and bits and pieces. And I noticed one kiddush cup had a name on it, and it had the Hebrew Order of David. And I asked the person where he got this, and he said, no, he didn't know and I could have it. So I took it and I took it back to the office, and it lay in my office for about 6 or 7 months, and the staff there from time to time cleaned it, so it was sitting there. staring me in the face. And then one day I got a phone call from somebody and he asked, gave a name. Don't want to mention the name on the air, but he gave a name and he said that he was asking whether this person was in fact a member of the Hebrew Order of David. And it turns out that he was. And the name on the cup was that person, and it was, had been given to him on the date of his wedding. So very coincidental. And I'm sure that, that stories like that abound right throughout the country.
Zen, you asked me, initially, if I knew the Reverend Chaim Katz. My only recollection of him was that he was, whether he was the rabbi in the Sinai community at the time. But bearing in mind there were approximately 500 Jewish families in East London in the 60s when the lodge opened. And my late grandfather, whose surname was also Katz, and my late father, as well as my brother, were all members of the lodge. My brother still is a member of the lodge. And my late grandfather and my late father were both in all foundation members of the Reverend Chaim Katz Lodge.
And in fact, we have Stan still on the line.
Yes.
It should be of interest in this particular regard because of the size of these small towns. And you mentioned when I discussed with you the other day that you, a lot of your members and these members clubs are in small towns and little villages around the country. And in fact, that is actually exactly how the Hebrew Order of David evolved in these small places. And the members of these, of our organization actually ran the Chevra Kedisha, ran the shuls. And if you meet members of the, who come from these country towns, you'll find that they are the best type of members because they actually, they know how to run services. They can pick it up at any point. They can actually teach you a thing or two. They died in the wool Jews from these parts of the world. And it's really, a fantastic experience to be with them in the communities because they run the, they run it on a very sociable basis, and they're very hospitable. And when one goes to these small places, it's quite an experience.
Yeah, no, that's our experience.
Right, and so just coming back, sorry, we are unable at this moment to get Nikki Goldman. We will try in the next break. She's, as I said, she's the CEO of the Jews Volunteer Network in the United Kingdom. But just continuing with our discussion. Stan, would you like to give a little bit more of a punt about what you do, how one gets hold of, if people want to join, give
sure.
a phone number or a contact detail, or they can actually write to me, and they can, and I'll forward it on to you.
Okay. I mean, we have a website, fjmc.org, which is obviously open to anyone who wants to come and see it.
Right.
I made sure that all of our email addresses are there. So if somebody wants to contact Stephen or myself, it's right on the page. It's not a problem. You know, to talk about the things that we do, one of the most interesting things that we have done, and I'm going to take credit for it, but it wasn't exactly our sole accomplishment, is that, we had a member, and I know that the people in London were doing it last year and this year. We have a candle for Yom HaShoah. And it was started about 25 years ago by a fellow in Toronto who's since passed away. His name was Jules Cerdan. And Jules was an idea guy, and he thought about giving out yellow candles to mark the Yom HaShoah. And it wasn't done at the time. Nothing was really done. And he started to send them out to his one synagogue. And it very quickly spread to a number of synagogues. And they were bringing in some money. And one of their members was a woman named Judy Feld Carr. And she was working with the Syrian Jews. And at the time in Syria, just after the Six-Day War, there were probably somewhere around 8,000 Jews in Syria. Judy pretty much single-handedly, through all kinds of nefarious and illegal to Syrian
methods,
she brought them out. She brought out at least 3,000 or 4,000 Jews from Syria through buying them out, through taking them, having them come through holes on the border. However it happened, she was responsible. She's going to be at our convention. Well, the candles are still being used. We got, they were in the UK for the last 2 years. They've been in Germany and Israel and South America, throughout North America. And we send them out. We don't ask people to pay for them. We give them out as a, we give them out and offer them the chance for donation. So as it happens, both Steve's synagogue and my own have Holocaust gardens that were pretty much paid for with the candles. And it's a way of memorializing the Holocaust. And we've done that. And there's some interesting stories about the projects and things. Stan, when we were talking the other day, I mentioned to you that some of the clubs have their own uses for the money. And one of the things that they're doing is they'll take kids to the U.S. Holocaust Museum. They will, participate in other places. You know, this provides a chance to take children and take others and introduce them to the whole, educational possibilities of the Holocaust and what they talk about. And with the rise of anti-Semitism, those are projects that people are using. So this little candle that's not only saved the Jews of Syria, but is also educating, you know, everyone about the Holocaust in North America and around the world.
And it's several of the clubs around the country, or in the United States, are doing a lot of interactive work with churches. My club in particular has had a Yom HaShoah program with the Catholic Church down the street from us every year for the last, it'll be 10 years this year. And it's been an absolutely wonderful experience and to be working with them. This year, that church and our youth group are sponsoring, as Stan was just talking about, sponsoring a trip for I think about 20 kids, 10 from the shul and 10 from the church to go to the Holocaust Museum. Right. During spring break. So it's a wonderful, wonderful program. And one of those things that I was talking about that was born at the club level and is now an international program.
So, I don't know if you would recall, but, Bibi Netanyahu made a speech at the United Nations some years ago, quite an eloquent speech, right to the point. And prior to that, or just after that, he went to 770 where the Rebbe, lived and, worked. And he made a speech in which he talked about the candle of truth. And the Hebrew Order of David here in South Africa, we made 15,000 candles and we distributed it throughout South Africa to all the shuls and asked them to distribute it to their communities, to ask them to please to light this candle of truth either whenever they would want to, but particularly on Shabbos, so that, you know, to remember, because I think today with anti-Semitism and anti-Israel sentiment, I think it's time that, and that's what his point was, that, you know, people should know the truth. And so, yeah, I think that candles play a very significant role in the life of Jews, because, you know, that's, we want to see the light, and that's part of what we are about, and we're supposed to be a light unto the nations.
It sounds like there's some places where the two organizations can work together, Stan.
Yes, we'll teach you a lot. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Well, you know, if you've got someone named Stan, I'm sure it's going to be great.
So, yes, no, it's been, it's very interesting to have connected with you on this level because, you know, I think that a lot of organizations work within, but they don't know what other organizations are doing, and sometimes a little bit of discussion and cross-pollination might serve us well. I just want to
are you going to be at the Zionist Congress next year?
I doubt it. Where are you talking about, the one in South Africa?
No, the one in Jerusalem, the World Zionist Congress.
No, we probably will have representation. South Africa is very different from the rest of the world in that we have very strong organizations here, and we're not a huge community. You know, we're probably, if you look at the Jews in America in any one city, there are more Jews in those cities than the whole of South Africa. So, you know, we have Women's Zionist Leagues, we have the Union of Jewish Women, and the Zionist Federation here is well represented, and it does represent the community at these events. And so, you know, although we are part of the Board of Deputies and election of the officials of these organizations, we're not actually on those boards, but we are in communication with them. So there will be definitely a representation from South Africa in a very big way. I mean, South Africa has always been the Jews here have been very proud supporters of Israel in every aspect. Just before we carry on, I just want to give out a number. So if anybody wants to contact us on WhatsApp while the show is on, you can call 061-895-1019, or you can SMS the number 34519. Keep the things above the belt, and we'll try and answer you if there's anything you would like to say or ask our guests. We're going to take another break now, and hopefully we can connect with Nikki. And if not, we'll continue.
Stay relevant and up to date. Keep informed. This is 101.9 High FM.
We're back. I'm going to talk for a few minutes about some projects which we're having, which we normally would go at the end of the show, but we're going to try in the meantime to connect with Nikki and get back to Stan and Steve. Just to tell you, from the Hebrew Order of David's point of view, we've got a few projects on the go. Firstly, we have as a guest speaker on the 19th of February at the Hebrew Order of David Center, at the HOD Center in Orchards. We have Ruf Meyer. And he's going to talk about 25 years into democracy. You know that he worked with the president who's actually giving the State of the Union address tonight on the new South Africa. And the cost is 80 rand per person. Spaces are filling up, so it's best that you go on. I have been emailing, or we have been emailing to the community. And if you would like to book, go on and register, please do so. We also have some other projects on the go. Every 3 months or 4 months, we invite elderly people to the HOD Center. We give them a morning of entertainment. We give them a tea, coffee, cake, and there are three coming up. There's the 16th of May, 15th of August, and the 14th of November, so please diarize those. If anybody would like to join, please feel free to contact the HOD Center on 640-3017 or info@hodavid.org. We also have a memorial meeting, and if families of members of the Hebrew Order of David would like to attend, or if their husbands or brothers or sons or whoever it is have passed, the memorial meeting will take place on the 29th of August 2019. It's a very somber and meaningful service, and followed by, of course, there will be refreshments. The Lodge Negev of the Hebrew Order of David also is having a bingo evening on Wednesday, the 6th of November. Our beneficiary this year is Kosher Mobile Meals, as it has been for the last number of years. And I'm pleased to say that we are always working with them, and they're very helpful towards us. And it's become a more and more of a successful bingo evening. Nobody goes away empty-handed. And so please, when the time comes, you'll be getting notices, and we'll be talking about it as we go along. We also have a wish list. If any organization or any particular organizations need something in particular, we are looking for certain items. One of the items that we are looking for is cell phones for a group of underprivileged students. But if organizations have been contacting us, we will be giving them some time on the show to discuss what their needs are and see if anybody will come forward and assist them. Stan, you still there?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so we're coming towards the end of the show. I don't know, Myron, would you like to chip in and give some input to talk about anything that the connection? I mean, you come from a country town. Well, country city is designated as a city. And I'm sure you can put some, you know, thoughts into the discussion.
Yeah, sure. Just on one point, Stan, hi. Relating to, as you're aware, that the Hebrew Order of David are quite well, they've got quite a strategic interest in America. Their several new lodges have been consecrated, and I think it would be a great idea if you sort of interfaced with them and sort of got together to see areas of common interest.
In fact, we have four lodges in Atlanta. We have a lodge in Boca Raton, a lodge in San Diego, a lodge we have two lodges in Texas, one in Dallas and one in Houston. And we have in Canada as well, in Thornhill, in Toronto. So besides the fact that we have lodges in England, we have lodges in Israel, and of course we have lodges throughout South Africa and the major cities.
But Stan,
during the break we were talking about that. Steve is going to be contacting the people at one of the lodges in Atlanta.
Yes, I think you'll find, I mean, the American lodges have really taken to this organization, though they have only been in existence for something in the order of about 20 years. And as I said, the apartheid years, the end of apartheid and immigration actually was a window of opportunity for the Hebrew Order of David to open, because people who were well versed in the Hebrew Order of David moved to countries like the United States, Canada, etc. And they knew the ropes, so they were happy to open organizations, lodges in those places. And we've attracted a lot of, you know, American, born and bred Americans to the organization, because we pretty well, you know, we have some other thoughts. I think Americans are pretty well versed in fraternities. They understand what it's about. A little bit of drinking, but a lot of activity. And, so yes, I think it would be of value to be in contact with them. And I'm happy to send you some details of those people.
That'd be great. One of the fun things that we do, we established it almost 20 years ago, was the International Kiddush Club.
All right.
And we have a website. We also have some meetings, but really that's a place where we raise money. We have a fund for our executive director, who is able to purchase tefillin with that money for people who can't afford them. And it's not in that you don't have to be a member of the FJMC to be a member of the Kiddush Club, although we encourage it. And we have some fun with it, and it's not about having a drink. It's about making sure that people, have a good time, enjoy being Jewish. We give it a little bit of Kodesh, when you have the drink, but you're also doing something good for people who are not able to participate in some ways.
In South Africa, we have a tefillin bank, and, which is, supported by a wealthy person here, an individual who set it up, and you can, for a very small amount of money, because tefillin today are really quite expensive, you can buy tefillin via this. So they're very subsidized tefillin, and there's an encouragement to, you know, Jews to lay tefillin. And a lot of these shuls and organizations, they have stamp stores here in South Africa where you can work through to get the tefillin, and it's available. It's just an application, and if you're a deserving individual and you need it to fit in and you can't afford it, they'll happily give it to you.
We've done some, we don't charge, but we'll do them in places where they just economically was impossible. Places like Argentina and Cuba, where, you know, the standard of living is so low that we couldn't do it. About 2-3 years ago, we took 400, sets of mezuzah, the cloth and the case, and made sure that every Jewish family in Cuba had a mezuzah on their door.
That's wonderful.
That was with the money from the Kiddush Club.
So the Argentinian connection is the president of the governing lodge of North America of the Hebrew Order of David is an Argentinian. So he says he's the first Argentinian to be of such high rank in the Hebrew Order of David. And so, yes, I mean, I'm sure he'd be interested to know about that.
Great. Well, I understand that you're just in Atlanta in November.
Yeah, no, I was in Atlanta earlier this year. I've been there a number of times, and I have been to Atlanta quite regularly because, you know, I was instrumental in assisting the lodges there with opening new lodges in the areas outside of Atlanta. When I got there, there were two lodges in Atlanta and subsequently grown to 9. And, I mean, that's our biggest growth point. Obviously, you know, you have the numbers, and it's very interesting that the growth has taken place.
Do you work on commission? Because we can offer you a better number than they're giving you right now.
If I worked on commission, I don't think I'd be sitting here talking on the radio. Ours is not by reward, it's by punishment. Management by punishment. okay, you know what, we're going to wrap with you. Okay, hold on. I think we have, I'm being signaled by, Tabo, who's our engineer, that we now have, that we now have Nikki on the line. Talk. Hello? Do we have somebody on the line?
Is Nikki on the line? I can't hear her.
Sorry, hold on 1 second. So I'm happy to say that we are going to connect with Nikki in a few minutes. It's going to talk to Myron a little bit more. Myron actually serves on the what we call the governing lodge executive of the Hebrew Order of David, which is made up of elected members in South Africa, in America and or North America and the United Kingdom and in Israel who within their own regions, they have a governing lodge which looks after the lodges within those areas. And Myron is a serving member of the governing lodge in South Africa and attends the meetings here regularly. He's sometimes resident here and sometimes resident in Port Elizabeth, in East London. So he's a well-traveled man and he's very much, his heart is in the Hebrew Order of David.
Stan, I don't know how well traveled. And by the way, P is only 300 kilometers. For you Yanks, that's about 220 miles from East London. Often gets confused. But just, I don't know, is Stan still on the line or is he still connected?
Stan, are you on the line?
No, I think he's off.
No, okay, so we're actually, technology's letting us down somewhat. So we are connecting to Stan and to Nikki. We will do so in a few minutes. Just to reiterate what the Hebrew Order of David is about. So at one stage, the Hebrew Order of David had lodges, and as Myron mentioned, this was number 25 in East London. And we have now, at one stage, we were well over 60, 70 lodges. Everywhere there was a Fourth Coast Bank in South Africa, we had a lodge for some reason. Maybe they banked with the Fourth Coast Bank. But taking the membership of the Hebrew Order of David and the names of the members, I would believe that almost every family, and I could probably safely say every family, has some connection to the Hebrew Order of David over the 115 years in South Africa. And so you should all be able to find something of the Hebrew Order of David in your possession. We'd love to have some of the pictures, photographs, memorabilia, particularly from lodges which were out of Johannesburg, Cape Town, where obviously we have a bigger collection of memorabilia. But if people do have something, please would you contact the Hebrew Order of David offices. We happily courier it, collect it, whatever it is to try and build up this library that we're building in the HID Center. We spent a lot of money putting it together. We also have partners JGSSA, which is the Jewish Genealogical Society of South Africa, and the Yiddish Society of South Africa is a home there, and they have a library which is available to the public, I think, via their hierarchy to be able to contact them. If you would like to contact the HID, you can find us on 011-640-3017. I now am told that we cannot connect to Nikki, I don't know, technology or whether we have the incorrect number. We will bring her back for a future show. Do we still have Stan on the line?
Yes, I'm still here.
Stan, we're going to wrap up in a few minutes. We're running into more advertising areas. Would you like to say anything as a last? And we'll be contacting each other after the show and in the weeks ahead.
Absolutely. I really look forward to working with your lodges, and Hebrew Order of David would be wonderful partners in a number of things. I think we can work, as organizations working together, respecting, of course, each one of our own organizations. I think we can work together and do some great things.
Well, I think sharing ideas is very important.
Yep.
We're all working to the same end.
Exactly. Exactly, and we'd love to have you participate in some of the things we do, and we want to participate in things you do, and I don't think there's any question that we can be better if we do that. Both organizations will grow.
By the way, in Atlanta, they have an annual barbecue, which is I'm not sure if you know about it, but it was started by the lodge in Atlanta, and they It's very, very well attended. There are 5,000 or 6,000 people attending every year. It's coming up soon, and it's a competition between different groups. You know, the lodges in our organization do participate, but other organizations, some shuls, the police, the fire department, they're all involved, and the newspaper in Atlanta is backing it, so you should see information about this taking place. I'm not too sure if you've heard about it. Steve, you're in Atlanta, so I would presume.
Well, Steve just stepped out of the car, but we were looking online at an article about an event that happened, and the fellow who wrote the article was one of our members, Stan Schnitzer. Another guy named Stan, of course.
Absolutely. Stan Schnitzer writes an article about the Hebrew Order of David.
Yes, so Stan's a former executive member of the FJMC. He's living in Atlanta now. He was originally from New Jersey, and great guy. And he's someone we've had involved in things for a long time. So it's not what I'm saying is that there are lots of places we can talk about things and work with you.
So Stan Schnitzer, the reason for that article is the grand president of the Hebrew Order of David. It's the first time that we've had an American grand president, because we've started a rotation basis. We rotate between South Africa, the United Kingdom, and the North America, and every 2 years we don't elect the president. It's a rotation basis. And Alan Rubenstein, living in Atlanta, came over to award him the Shield of David, which is actually the highest award that one can give a member of the organization, and for his work done. And Stan Schnitzer wrote that article. I think you'll see that it's mentioned about that trip and about the fact that we came there and how blown away Alan was that I just arrived there to do it.
There's even photographs.
Correct. So now you know what I look like.
Yes. Very handsome.
Yeah, right. Somebody said I have the perfect face for radio.
Yeah.
Okay, we're now being signaled that we're going to wrap the show. And, it's really been a pleasure, and thanks for your input. And Stephen, thanks for joining us. I hope he's come back to the car. And,
he's still outside, but I want to wish everybody Shabbat Shalom.
Yes.
And let's look forward to working together in the future.
And thanks for taking the time out to join. And I know you're in Atlanta because you've got a big weekend coming up, and, not too much drinking and a lot of activity, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you, and you too.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for contacting us.
Sure. So before we wrap, last things, we have a project which we brought about, which is a project for a day in the life of a Jew in South Africa. And what you have to do with the benefit of technology, all you have to do is take your cell phone, smartphone, take a photograph, send it in to admin@hrdavid.org, and we'll compile these. There's a 25,000 rand worth of prizes for the top people in the competition, and we're already starting to get photographs coming in. As I said, admin@hrdavid.org. And we'll hopefully, if all goes well and if we get the requisite amount of photographs, we hope to publish a book later in the year, which will collate all these photographs. A picture tells 1,000 words. We don't want 1,000 words. Send in a few words with some blurb with the photographs so we know what we're looking at. And we'd really like to hear from you. Thank you, and I wish everybody a good Shabbos, and thank you for coming on the show. Myron for being here, Tabo for assisting. And I think we all learned something tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Hi, FM.